Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. We continue our study through the Gospels. We come to chapter 12. We're going to attempt to study verses 33 through verse 45 this evening. Lord willing. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. And let's get right into the Word tonight. If you're able, please stand to honor the Word of God tonight. And as often, Jesus has been going back and forth a little bit with the Pharisees, and they had made accusation against the Lord that he cast out devils by the devil. And we saw that, and we continue here in verse 33. And Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Our Heavenly Father, as we look at these serious warnings from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight, I pray that you would convict our hearts. Lord, that we would examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, that we would be careful as we look into your word, not to judge others, Lord, but to examine our own hearts tonight. And Lord, we do pray that your judgment that we see coming, that it would motivate us to be faithful witnesses to the lost world around us. Lord, forgive our sin, convict our hearts, change us, and make us what you want us to be, Lord. And Lord, help us to be good trees, bearing good fruit for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We see tonight very quickly the fruit of words and the folly of the wicked. In verses 33 through 37, we see the fruit of words. Notice the fruit of the tree. The tree is known by his fruit. In verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. I want you to know the Bible has a lot to say about trees and fruit. As a matter of fact, you can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, and there was a lot to say about a tree and its fruit. The Lord said to Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the very beginning. We come up to the Psalms, and you'll remember Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Listen, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And God gives us this picture. A godly man is careful about who he spends time with. A godly man is careful about what influences he has in his life. Somebody said wisely that desire is born of influence. And when you're influenced by people, it will change the desires of your heart, and it'll change the actions of your life. You better be careful who your friends are. But it's not just your friends. What influence is coming to your life? Listen, he says, you need to be careful that you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't stand in the way of sinners. You don't sit in the seat of the scornful, but delight in the law of the Lord. And can I just give you a little side note? There are people that we would never associate with in our lives, but that we welcome into our home every day through our television and our media. I mean, there are some things going on in the world. You would never find yourself at some of those places doing some of those things or spending time around those kind of people, and yet we readily welcome them into our home. As a matter of fact, most of us pay good money to invite that junk into our house. Listen, the godly are not so. We're careful about who we spend our time with. We're careful about what influences we have. And we delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law we meditate day and night. And God says, listen, if you're like that, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and you'll bring forth your fruit in your season. He goes on in Psalm 1 and verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And this theme, this idea of God using this illustration, if you will, this picture, however you want to say it, of us being people, being like a tree, we're known by our fruit. And good trees bring forth good fruit, and evil trees bring forth evil fruit. And when the Lord's talking to these Pharisees, he said, make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. And he says, listen, you can't pretend to be something you're not. And he was constantly warning the Pharisees because they had the most opportunity to know the truth, and yet they were the farthest from the truth. And their hearts were corrupt, therefore they could not bring forth good fruit. And constantly the Lord was warning them, the fruit of the tree. Well, the fruit of the tree is because the root of the heart. And look at verse 34 in our text. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There's no hope for you to say what's right. You've just called God's only Son the devil. You've just said that the power that's behind him is Beelzebub. You've just accused the works of Christ to be the works of the devil. And why would we expect any different, the Lord says? You can't say anything good. You can't say what's right because your heart's not right. And friends, we can never hope to say the right things if our heart's not right. Listen, the Lord was so gracious and so gentle with publicans and sinners and people of ill repute. He was so gentle with them. But man, when he dealt with the Pharisees and scribes and the people who were religious and should have known better, he didn't pull any punches. He said, O generation of vipers. He says, you're poisonous. And because your hearts are not right. A good man out of the good treasure, verse 35, of the heart, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You know, the Lord has a lot to say about the link between our heart and our mouth as well. Let's take just a second to look at some stuff real quick. Turn back in your Old Testament to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Way back in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and find verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And God gave his word to the people, and he gave his word to them abundantly so it would be in their heart and it would be in their mouth. That's what he told Joshua, that this you need to take this law, and it needs to not depart out of your mouth. Well, how does it get in your mouth? By meditating therein day and night. And it's in our mind, it gets in our heart, and it comes back out of our mouth. Listen, it's very simple. What's in your heart will come out of your mouth. And if you've got the wrong things coming out of your mouth, it's because your heart's not right. And listen, it's not just the publicans and Pharisees, the religious crowd. It's not just lost people out there that don't know the Lord. The same thing is true for you and me every day. Listen, sometimes you get up on the wrong side of the bed and you're just being hateful and grouchy with everybody that lives in your house. You know why? Because your heart's not right. I'm going to tell you right now that the guy goes out there and smashes his thumb with a hammer and filthy words come out of his mouth. You know why that happens? Because his heart's not right. Amen. If a man's heart's right, he can smash his thumb and he won't have filthy words come out of his mouth. Amen. How you know, preacher? Well, I'll just go ahead and confess to you right here tonight that I've done both. That's how I know. I know because that's what the Bible says, and I know because of personal experience. But just get this concept of God's word being in our heart and in our mouth. It's not new. It's right there in the Old Testament. God hasn't changed, and this truth hasn't changed. It's in Deuteronomy. It's also in Romans chapter 10. Look at it. Romans chapter 10 and verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, why say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, it's the same. And those people in the Old Testament, they didn't come to God and have the word in their heart and mouth by keeping the law. They got it by faith. And it was the word of faith that they believed in then to come to God. It's the word of faith that we believe in now to come to God. And if we've come to God by faith in his word, it'll change our lives and it'll change what comes out of our mouth. Amen. Amen. Do you see? Look back at our text, please. Matthew chapter 12. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Now listen, I believe there's a lot of fruit. Galatians chapter 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, goodness, temperance. All those things, that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's evidence in our life. And I believe that bringing other souls to Christ is fruit. Disciples make disciples. But one of the most obvious fruits in our lives, and the fruit that Jesus was speaking specifically of here, is what is coming out of our mouths. Amen. The Pharisees were saying, you're raising, listen, they've got out among the people, Jesus is apparently in the house, and they get out there among the people and said, by Beelzebub does he cast out devils. And what their speech is saying that Jesus is not the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet when you're born again, when you're really saved, when you come to God by faith in his word, then what comes out of your mouth is Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And everything that you say about him gives him honor and glory. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God. Amen. The power of Christ is the power of God. And so it's what is coming out of their mouth is the fruit that he's speaking of specifically, the fruit of their words. And the root is the heart. In verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now listen to me. Verse 36 ought to get our attention tonight. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Friend, that ought to get our attention. I'm just curious. Anybody ever say stupid things? I know some of you do. Go ahead and raise your hand. I say some of the dumbest things sometimes. I say unkind things, hateful things, rude things, stupid things, idiotic things, pointless things, foolish, scornful, murmuring, complaining. Now, some of you are just looking at me like I'm awful. And some of you are looking at me like you feel the same way. Amen. Listen, we need to be careful about what comes out of our mouth. Have you ever had a hard time watching what you say? Let me give you some help tonight. If you want to be more careful about what you say, quit focusing so much about what you say and start focusing on what's in your heart. You see, we've got a root problem. If we got a fruit problem, we got a root problem. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Jesus is specifically casting judgment on those Pharisees who denied him. And by extension, he is casting judgment on all who deny him. Everyone who does not believe on the Lord. That's who he's casting judgment on. But this truth is something we still need to be careful of today. We need to guard our hearts. We need to be careful about what we put in our hearts. Amen. Because we're going to be judged by every idle word that we speak. Verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now I want you to get this though. You see, there's always a thing, because people are people. So the Pharisee would hear this and he would say, oh, well, as long as I say the right things, then I'll be okay. But God warned in the Old Testament in Isaiah 29:13, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, for their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Do you get it? Well, you say, oh, well, the Lord's going to judge me by what I say, so I'll just be real careful about what I say and I'll be okay. No, it all starts with the heart. And you can fool yourself and you can fool other people, but we will not fool God. Amen. Matthew 15, verses 7, 8, and 9, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And so listen, we're not going to get to fool God. You might fool everybody in the church. You might fool everybody in your family. You might even fool yourself, but we won't fool God. We have the good fruit that comes out of a good mouth because we have a good heart, because we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And it starts with the right heart. That's the root. So we see the fruit of the words. Now look at the folly of the wicked. Look down at verse 38. And we'll see they desired a sign. They despised the Savior, but they destroy themselves. In verse 38, the certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Okay, well, he just cast out the demon out of the man. They've seen his signs over and over and over again. They've seen the miracles that Christ has done, and yet they continue to deny him, and yet they say, well, we just need to see, I guess the idea was, we just need to see one more sign. We would see a sign. Well, where were you at just a minute ago? The signs and the wonders that they could not deny were there in front of their face. And so the Lord says, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. So they say, we want to see a sign. The Lord says, listen, only evil and adulterous generations want a sign. I want you to get this. When we come to God, we come by faith in His Word. Amen. If you don't believe the Word, you won't believe anything. Amen. You remember in Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus? The Bible says that Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died also, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You remember he wanted Lazarus to just dip his finger in water and cool his tongue because he was tormented in the flame. And that couldn't happen. So he said, well, Father Abraham, maybe you could just send Lazarus up to warn my brothers so they don't end up down here with me. And he said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. If they won't hear them, they won't believe the one rose from the dead. Listen, the fact is, friends, if we either believe the Word of God or we don't. There's no more signs, no more anything. But God, even in His infinite grace, His incredible grace, His wonderful mercy, He said, I'll give you one sign. I'll give you the sign of Jonah. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the well for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth. Now you get this? Abraham told, see, the message is always the same. Man, it's just through the whole Bible. Abraham said, listen, Lazarus, they're not going to believe. Or listen, rich man, they're not going to believe. The rich man is in hell. The rich man, he tells the rich man, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, if they won't believe the Word of God, they're not going to believe the one rose from the dead. And one would rise from the dead. And one did rise from the dead. And it doesn't matter of all the historical proofs and all the rest of it that's out there, either you believe the Word of God or you don't. Amen. They wanted a sign. I'm not going to give you a sign except for this. Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the well's belly. By the way, for all the skeptics out there who think that that was a myth and it was a made-up story, Jesus believed it. Amen. I'm going to go with Jesus. That's scientifically impossible. By the way, I think it was awful. Be inside that well, inside that great fish for 3 days and three nights. You imagine how awful that was? So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Here's your sign. And you'll remember that even the disciples who heard this didn't get it until after He rose again. You remember that? It wasn't just the Pharisees that didn't get it. It was His own disciples that didn't get it. They until He appeared to them later and opened up their minds, they didn't understand. They didn't get it. The folly of the wicked, they desire a sign. The folly of the wicked is they despise the Savior. Look at verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Now, man, I don't know if you've studied Jonah lately. It's a very short book in the Bible, and it'd be great for you to go back and read it. It's an amazing story. Jonah is a great man of God, a faithful man of God, and yet when God says, go to Nineveh, he says, no. He went the other way. Why? Because he hated Nineveh. He hated the Assyrians. These people were awful. They were wicked. They did despicable things. And if you study history about how Nineveh was, it was an awful place. History tells that they would conquer nations. They'd cut people's heads off and stick them on spikes, and they would take their skins. They would skin these people and put their skins around the wall of the city. Just so everybody would know, we're really bad, don't mess with us. And they had done that to all kinds of nations, including God's people. And Jonah said, I'm not going over there. because I know you're gracious and merciful. And if I go preach to them, they'll repent. And you won't kill them all. That's a good heart of a preacher, isn't it? No, that's not a good heart of a preacher. And so God says, go over here. So he goes the other direction. And he tries to get away from God, but you can't run from God. This is an amazing thing. You just read it. The storm comes up, and they're trying to figure out all those pagan people crying out to their gods and trying to figure out what's causing the problem. They cast lots, and it falls to Jonah, and he said, I'm the problem, fellas. You see, God is the God of heaven and earth. He's the God of the sea. He's the God of everything. And they go, oh, no. This guy's God's the God of everything, and look at this storm. And I'm amazed at how they were. I mean, if I'd have been those guys, I'd have thrown him over in a second. But they're trying to figure out a way not to throw him overboard. But they, even in their pagan hearts, are afraid of this God now. Now they're afraid of Jonah's God. But we don't, lay not this into our charge. They cry out and toss him overboard. And as soon as he hits the water, it's calm. And God's prepared that well, and he's right there. Shunk. And it takes 3 days inside that fish before Jonah gets right with God.
Amen.
He's almost as hard-headed as most of you people.
Amen.
Almost. And when he finally cries out to God from the bottom of the mountains under the sea, God sends that fish and he vomits him out on the seashore. And so God says, I want you to go. So he goes. And Nineveh is this huge city. And when he gets down there, he goes through it about a day's journey. And he just cries out, repent. Because God's going to overthrow you. It wasn't a very good message. It's not a very popular message today. But for whatever reason, God stirred up those people's hearts and they believed him. The preacher didn't want to be there. He hated the people he was preaching to. And he didn't make the message as good as he could have. He just said, repent because you're all going to die. He got in there and out of there as fast as he could. I'm going to try that next Sunday. I'm not really going to try that next Sunday. Just run in real quick. I hate you all. You're all going to die. You better repent. But that was his message. And they repented.
Amen.
From the least to the greatest, the king made a decree. He said, who knows? Who knows if this God may spare us? And they repent in sackcloth and ashes, and God is merciful, and God delays his judgment. This wicked and awful city of pagans repents at the preaching of Jonah. And listen to me. God says in the judgment, those people are going to rise up, and they're going to judge this generation. This generation is the generation of Pharisees and scribes that Jesus was preaching to that day. But I want to tell you, I believe it extends beyond that to those who reject Christ even yet today. Listen, you've heard the gospel. For those people, they had seen the miracles. They had heard Jesus. They had been in his presence. They had seen the power of the Holy Spirit at work right amongst their midst, and they still rejected Christ. And the Lord said, Nineveh is going to judge you. They're going to condemn you in the judgment. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And he said, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. In verse 42, the queen of the south, that's the queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And if you'll remember Solomon's day, he had been blessed by God abundantly and mercifully. In spite of all of his sin, God continued to bless him and be gracious to him, and he was wiser than any man who had ever lived before him or who would ever live after him, and his fame spread abroad to all the known world, and the queen of Sheba came way down from the south. She traveled all the way up to see this man Solomon, and when she got up there and she saw all of the glory of Israel and she saw all the glory of the temple and all the glory of Solomon's house and his attendants and everything about it, and she listened to Solomon and she asked him questions. She was amazed and she said, they didn't tell the half of it. I thought I'd come up here and I would be disappointed. I thought surely they had exaggerated about how great Solomon was. And yet they didn't tell the half of it. He is far wiser than anybody ever thought. Far greater than anybody ever thought. This man Solomon, how God has blessed him. And she was amazed, exceeding amazed at how awesome and great and wise he was. And the Bible says, Jesus says in the judgment, the Queen of Sheba is going to come up. And she's going to condemn those Pharisees and scribes and all those of a wicked generation who would reject Christ. Why? Because she was amazed by Solomon, and there was one far greater than Solomon right there in their midst. The folly of the wicked, they desire a sign. They're not satisfied with the Word of God. The folly of the wicked is they despise the Savior. And no matter how much they see of Jesus, and no matter how much they hear of Jesus, and no matter how much they hear testimony of Jesus, and no matter what they hear or see or understand from the Word of God, they still reject Him. It ought to break our hearts. I tell you, we knock on doors, we talk to people, we try to share the gospel with them, and you can tell somebody about Jesus and how he loved them so much that in spite of their sin, he died for them, how that he took the sin and punishment of the whole world on himself when he died on the cross. You can talk to them about how he gave up the ghost and he paid the debt for our sin, how he laid in that tomb, was sealed up for 3 days and three nights, and how he rose again and he conquered death and hell and the grave. And people hear that about Jesus. They hear about all that he did in his ministry, about his incredible death for our sins and how he rose again. And they hear all of that and they say, yeah, I've heard that my whole life. And they just dismiss Jesus. Friends, it's going to be awful. Amen. Awful in the day of judgment for those who have come so close to Christ and yet turned him away. Amen. They destroy themselves. Look at verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. I want to tell you what I believe. I believe this is a picture of the religious man. The religious man tries to clean up his own life. The religious man tries to turn over a new leaf. The religious man tries to clean himself up. And maybe he does good for a little while. He gets rid of those demons that are in his life, and he straightens himself up. He gets himself cleaned up. And you can just imagine the guy, maybe he's a drug addict, and he fights real hard, and he quits drugs, and he starts going to church, and he tries to clean his life up and becomes very religious, and he's doing better. And from the outside, man, it looks great. But that demon he put out, he went out there in desolate places and didn't find anywhere else to go. So he said, you know what, I'm just going to go back where I was. When he comes back, man, this guy's life is all cleaned up. And so he says, you know what? I'm going to get some more of my demon buddies to come with me. And when they come in, the man is worse off at the end than he was in the beginning. And you listen to me. You try to clean up your life without Jesus Christ, and you will end up worse off.
Amen.
The only way you're going to end up right is by humbling yourself and trusting in Christ alone. Believe the Word. Come to Him by faith. Don't try to clean your life up. That's stupid. It can be a dangerous thing. Physically, people get sick. Some of you are like me. You're very, very good Google doctors. Something's wrong. You Google it. Self-medicate. It's all good. That can be very dangerous sometimes. Might be something real bad wrong with you. Maybe you should have gone to a real doctor. And you might end up in a worse place than you were before. But I want to tell you something. That's nothing compared to the person who denies Christ and thinks they can clean their life up on their own. the end of that is eternal death and destruction. And friend, we see people every day who are trusting in their works. We see people every day who are trying to clean their own life up. We see people every day who are trying to do it without Christ. And we are called and commanded, and we ought to have enough compassion to want to go to them and tell them of Jesus, because he's the only way for anyone to be saved. This evening, as we get ready for a verse of invitation, would you stand with me, please? The fruit of our words and the folly of the wicked. These people denied Christ. They denied the power of the Holy Spirit. They blasphemed against Jesus and against the Holy Spirit, and they were in danger of damnation. But even in it all, Jesus, I believe, continued to offer them hope, continued to offer them a way of forgiveness. Quit trusting in yourself. Quit trusting in your own works, and trust in me. And the message has been the same from the very beginning. We believe the word of God. We trust in him, and we can have forgiveness and life. If you need to get something right with the Lord tonight, maybe you've never been saved. You need to be saved tonight. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Or you're saved and baptized, but we've not been the witness we need to be for the Lord. Whatever it is, if the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, would you come tonight?
Page 559.